come at the time, come at the moment. Right here on your best bits of music, 90.4 Capital FM. Good evening, how are you doing? It happens every Thursday right here on your best bits of music, 90.4 Capital FM. My name's Charles Kiarie. How are you this afternoon? The weather has changed. It's much better, by the way. I mean, the rains actually came in yesterday. We're all so excited and happy. Of course, we do this every Thursday, of course, with my legal insider, Mr. Mutua Mutuku, Advocate of the High Court. My brother, welcome.
Asante-san, how are you, my guy?
I'm good, sir.
Hey,
how's you? How's your day, sir?
My day has been quite busy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a lot of meetings.
As it should be when you're working, Libana.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a lot of working and banter, conversations, a lot of meetings.
Yeah.
I had court in the morning.
Oh, you did?
Yes, I had court
in
the morning.
And I know you wouldn't want to talk about that one.
Of course, I wouldn't want to talk about it. But yeah, I had a good, decent day. It's not as sunny as it was.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. How was your day?
My day was the usual, checking in at about 12:31. Of course, the usual sitting down with the big boss, who's quite impressed with the show.
Yeah.
He's quite happy because of the consistency thereof. And hopefully in the near future, we should be having one or two people who would want to be part of the show.
Of course.
We're talking about advertising-wise and all that.
Yeah.
And and he said a big hello to you and thank you.
Ah, beautiful,
for the consistency. Yeah. Mm. And we're hoping we're hoping that somebody very important will be joining us, advertising-wise.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but we'll get into that one. Of course, every Thursday, as you know, with me, Mutua, and me, Charles Kiarie, Advocate Mutua, we always have guests who come in and talk about various issues. We've covered a wide range of issues since we started about 6-7 months ago, I think. But as when we started the show, I remember Wakili Nick Ndeda told me, even if we do this for the next 5 years, it will be just a drop in the ocean, because the law is like an onion. You can never really get to the bottom of it.
Yeah.
Yes, and I understood that when Mutua now joined me and he came with another tangent, I said, okay, now Mutua, what is this now?
Before we get there.
Yes.
You have not told these people where we were together on Monday.
Yes. Monday was an interesting day. I didn't know good things actually can happen or do happen to you people. But I was so happy, and thank you so much, Wakili, for inviting me to come to the Muthaiga Charity Club.
Rotary
Club of Muthaiga.
Yes.
And I was the chief guest speaker, and I quite enjoyed doing that. Remember, as I said, I do that a lot to schools and colleges or people who want to join media or dramatic arts. But this one was really, really amazing. I want to say thank you to the chairman himself, and thank you so much. I mean, I will, as much as possible, try and make it every Monday. That was so much fun, just connecting with people of like-mindedness.
They have a message for you.
Please.
They were so happy. They were so impressed with you.
Mm-hmm.
And they always said, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
Us guys, we are always listening to Capital FM.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Even those who at any particular point are not listening to Capital, mm-hmm. they are new converts. So that one...
Yes.
Yeah, but also over the weekend as well.
But also they were quite shocked and surprised to learn that you, Wakili, are always with me every Thursday. Like, what? Wakili, you too?
They didn't know I host a radio show.
Yes, you didn't know.
Yeah.
But now here you are, and they're listening. Karibuni nyote, if you're listening, and welcome to the show. Interesting show. And when you called me and told me about the topic, about the advocate's benevolence, and I was like, hey? You see, as I said, every Thursday something new comes up, and I'm like, wow, what is advocate's benevolence?
Yeah.
And of course, in studio, we have somebody, as I said, every Thursday, someone to come in and articulate exactly what this topic is all about. But for you, Butua, kick it off.
I don't know. What will. There's a lot that goes on in the advocate's world.
Mm-hmm.
Wakili is kama kawaida, we have a lot going on.
Yes.
And today is not really our day. It's not me and you day.
No.
Remember last week, I remember June giving a stick for saying that it was International Women's Day. Right. And we didn't have women in the studio.
No, we didn't.
But today,
leo tumekasirika.
Leo tumekasirika.
Yeah.
So we have two guests. One is Bado Anaingiengia.
Okay.
And the other one is here.
Uh-huh.
Hi, how are you?
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, welcome to The Legal Insider.
Thank you.
Yes, please talk to us, introduce yourself, tell us who you are and who you represent, and how I can join the advocate.
Yes.
Continue.
Okay.
So benevolence. I know it's a fund. Benevolence fund or something. Yeah.
Yes.
Welcome.
Thank you so much. My name is Elna Mudibo Wambua.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an advocate of the High Court of Kenya.
Uh-huh.
So about the fund. Okay, that's what I do. I do a lot of law.
Yeah, before you get into that one, yes. Just a brief history about yourself, please. Yeah, Elna.
So currently I work at a law firm.
Yes.
Called Robson Harris.
Mm-hmm.
Advocates LLP.
Yeah.
I am in the litigation department, so that means I'm always fighting.
Oh my goodness.
If I may say.
All right.
Well, I'm always in court. I'm always in court fighting for the right cause, of course.
Yeah.
I've also done a degree in Bachelor of Arts, majored in political science and psychology.
Mm-hmm.
So which really complements and supplements my law degree.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Hey, okay. Yeah. Yeah. As I keep telling Mutua, he just brings choppies here. All right. Quick. Continue. Yes. How long have you done this? I mean, we're talking about the Advocates Benevolence Fund. How long have you been in it? Before we get to our next guest, in the introduction, before we get now to the nitty gritties.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, I've been in the fund for as long as I've been an advocate, which is, is it heading to 5 years? Not been there for a very long time.
Uh-huh.
Yes, but it's been quite a few years.
All right.
Yes.
Fantastic, and yes, our next guest has checked in. Karibu sana. Please tell us your name. Introduce yourself. Karibu to the Legal Insider on Capital FM.
Asante.
My name is Charles Kiari.
Thank you, Charles.
Welcome.
My name is Mucha Mucheko.
I already know you come. Yes.
My name is Deborah Ajuang.
Mm-hmm.
Wakili, of course.
Mm-hmm.
17 years in practice.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Charlie Mweskia, 17 years in practice.
Yeah, I'm just reading down her name.
Eh?
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah. Yeah, tell us a bit about yourself, Deborah.
So I'm a lawyer who turned into a governance expert.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm what you call a company secretary, which means in addition to providing legal advice,
mm-hmm.
I provide governance advice. So I advise boards. You know those guys called directors.
Now, this is interesting. This is another one. Right, continue. Yeah,
yeah, so mm-hmm. basically that's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
So I double hat and a large part of my career has been in financial services,
mm-hmm.
The banks. So I also have a financial law bias.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, I'm one of those lawyers who has practiced in various sectors,
mm-hmm.
The NGO world.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, I was championing the rights of women and children, the Cradle and Kenya Human Rights Commission.
Mm-hmm.
And then I moved to the corporate world, mm-hmm. where I have worked mostly in financial services.
Yeah, it figures all that you said, 17 years. Yeah, it mm-hmm. figures. Welcome to Capital FM.
Thank you.
Is it something that you studied or something it was just in you that you felt this is my calling, that I need to do this? Or when you started, everything just snowballed and it picked up and you left and you continued with it?
So two things happened. One, this was not my initial career choice.
It never is for anybody else.
Surprisingly.
Yes.
Although I was that kid who was, you know, in the estate, the kid who was sorting out cases,
mm-hmm.
you know, the one who, this one is the one who's sorting us out when we are fighting. And
yeah.
So I had it in me, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But when I actually decided what I wanted to do in campus, I wanted to do music.
Super. Wow.
And then my dad
mm-hmm.
told me, when you do engineering, you become an engineer.
Mm-hmm.
When you do medicine, you become a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
When you do accounting, you become an accountant.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked me, so when you do music, what do you become? And I didn't have an answer. you can imagine this was, you know, almost 20 years ago.
Wow.
And at the time, music wasn't really a career.
No,
and I
wasn't.
Didn't have an answer for that.
Right.
So for that reason, I couldn't justify why I was going to do music.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up doing law, but I love it. I I'm like a fish in water.
Ah, so fantastic.
I enjoy it.
That's good to hear. Okay. Yeah. Welcome, Elena, and welcome, Deborah, to The Legal Inside. Remember, we do this every Thursday with my Wakili here, Wakili Mutua Mutuku. But before that, we had Wakili... Wakili, who ran away for a bit, but he'll be back shortly.
The celebrity guy.
Yeah. Nick Ndeda.
Yes.
Yeah, he's the one we started the show with. And yeah, karibuni sana. Now, when he called me today, Wakili, we're talking about advocate benevolence. Let's start from the beginning. What is advocate benevolence about? What is it about? Who do we start with? Let's start with you, Deborah. Yeah.
Okay, so benevolence, the word benevolence means a good thing.
Correct.
You know, so essentially we're looking at an organization which assists advocates, you know, when they're in distress. The initial mandate of Advocates Benevolent Association was to assist advocates upon their demise. Mm-hmm. That's how it started originally. So that upon your demise, so you contribute, let me take it a little bit, mm-hmm. step back. Mm-hmm. So you contribute a small amount of money every year. Mm-hmm. And then upon your demise, this money is kept in a pool. So okay. because we are many of us, mm-hmm. it's kept in a pool. And then it then allows the organization to provide an amount of money upon your demise for your family, for your send-off. And mm-hmm. then beyond that, supports your children and your spouse. So you're given a lump sum. Right now, it's about 100,000. It used to be 80. It was increased to 100,000.
Sweet.
And then beyond that, you know, your children are educated and, you know, that kind of thing. So that's basically what it is.
Okay, how it started. That's how it started. Upon when someone passes on.
Yes.
That's what they do. But now, when you say that, it means that has already changed.
Yes.
Correct.
So that has changed because you'll appreciate that not all lawyers... get into the marriage space. Not all lawyers have children. Mm-hmm. So right now, the demographic of the legal profession has changed drastically. Uh-huh. So that we have, you know, it has tilted. So we have more young lawyers than, mm-hmm. than you know, the I'm called the mid-bar. Mm-hmm. We are sort of the middle in our 30s, 40s.
Oh, fantastic. So where is...
You have a name for them, Charlie. You have a name for them. No, don't put me on spot. You have a name for them.
Don't say it. That's for later when you get to the nitty gritty about now the real cases situation where I walk in and I say, this is my wife, but I've got this many children. Yeah, so upon my demise, these 15 kids have been taken care of. But I'll tell our story all together. But really quickly, as you were saying.
So it changed mm-hmm. because we realized that it's not going to cater for only a small group of lawyers, which is the older ones. Mm-hmm. So it changed. So now you have, for instance, if you have a medical case, you're in hospital, you're hospitalized, you're not able to pay your bills, you can write to them and they cater for your bills. And we have had, you know, those kind of cases where lawyers are supported. You know, we even have one of our friends who traveled to India, went for surgery, unfortunately wasn't successful. Mm-hmm. And when she came back, she had, of course, utilized all her insurance and all the funds.
Oh.
But she has been supported through her journey. She, unfortunately, she lost her sight. But she's been supported through her entire journey by the Benevolent Association.
Wow.
So it is useful to not just, you know, not after your demise.
Mm-hmm.
And it's now, the mandate has increased, you know, has been expanded, rather, so that to cater for even lawyers who are not necessarily... married or have issues.
Stop looking at me.
issues, as we call them. Mutua, no pressure. No pressure.
Yeah, I hope my mom is not listening.
Yeah, no pressure, Mutua. Don't worry about that. Okay, fine. Let's do this. Let's take a short break, okay? And then when we come back, let's get into the nitty gritties. And when we come back now, let's talk about the education. I mean, just how you guys do it and all that. And then in the next couple of minutes after the 7 o'clock news, let's get into the details now where things get tricky. Or there's somebody actually who was an advocate or probably left or didn't leave. They're still there. They don't know what to do about it. Or they probably didn't know about it. Now they're learning it from the Legal Insider. I think that's possible, Mutua.
Yes.
And you wanted to say something.
We also she has a very interesting story.
Yes, we'll come to you also, Elna Mudibo. You stand by for that one. Swali Limingi Apa. All right, stand by. All right, it's about 13 minutes to 7 o'clock. The Legal Insider, 0701-984-94. Hashtag Legal Insider, hashtag quick one, Wakili.
This is Easter. Gear up for an exhilarating experience as the Safari Rally raves into action with KCB Bank. Dubbed the greatest rally event in the world, KCB Bank is inviting you to witness high-speed thrills, precision driving, and roar of engines that will set your pulse racing. But that's not all. This event is packed with on-ground entertainment that promises endless fun for everyone. Make this Easter a Safari Rally Easter and feel the roar with KCB Bank. Come for the cars, stay for the fun. To learn more, stay tuned and follow Capital FM. KCB Bank, for people, for better.
Right on your best week to music, 90.4 Capital FM. Good evening. What we're looking at about 11 minutes to 7 o'clock. It's a Legal Insider. Of course, every Thursday we do this. Of course, just, we don't do legalese, as well, Killy says. We just try and break it down as much as possible to anyone can actually listen to. And Mutua Mutuku, advocate of the High Court, with me every Thursday here. So 0701984984. Swali, it can be anything, by the way. Yeah, it could, yeah. It could be to anybody here, anything that you want to know. But today, of course, in studio, Elna Mudibo Mutua, advocate of the High Court.
Wambua.
Wambua. Mumbua.
Wambua.
Wambua. Yes. Ah, okay. Sorry, I did get that.
My guy, you're getting people's names wrong.
No, you'll be crucified. No. So my lawyer, you'll represent me. It was Deborah Ajuang, 17 years in the industry. And yes, we're talking about advocate benevolence. And Mutua, over to you for the questions.
Deborah's told us what ABA is all about, yes, and what it does to people. It educates your people when you're no longer there. And Elna is here. I understand you're a beneficiary of ABA. Is that so?
Yes, I am.
Please tell us about it.
Okay. Just as my learned seniors put it, is that legalese?
No, go ahead. You're ready. You're safe.
Yeah.
Yes. So one of the, as it started off, one of the main things was that it caters for your family when you're gone. When if you're an advocate and you pass away, your children will be taken care of. Your spouse will be taken care of. Well, mostly your children, because they are going to be educated all the way from whatever level you left them till campus. And I believe now if you're joining the Kenya School of Law, they also pay for your fees. But that's a new thing that came just the other, I think, in 2020. So for me, unfortunately, my father, who was an advocate, passed on when I was very, very, very young. So the fund has been there for me all the way from nursery. And not only me, my siblings as well. So they cater for the children you have left. Will I call them the legitimate children?
Legitimate. We are coming to that.
Yeah. Don't just go, you know, getting babies everywhere and expect the fund to take care of them. But so that is what it did for me.
Yeah.
From so when I was growing up in school, I used to know there's a group of lawyers who help my mom in paying the fees. I didn't know the name exactly, but we knew, my siblings and I, we knew. So when I got into the profession, or when I got older, I came to realize, oh, it's actually a whole welfare program that is that's charged with that responsibility. And yeah, they really, really came through for us all day from nursery to primary to high school to campus. So you can imagine how amazing your spouse feels when they're helped in that way.
So let me ask you guys. So yeah. If I have two or three wives,
good question.
All of them have kids.
Africa,
right? Yeah. It's a very African thing.
Yeah.
What happens? And also, if I die, I was not married, but I have kids. What happens? If I die, and I didn't have a spouse, I didn't have a wife, I mean, I didn't have kids, what happens to my money?
So, and you were contributing.
Yes, and I was contributing. Any of you guys can just go ahead and take that.
Okay, I'll take that. So, you know, first and foremost, you need to be a practicing advocate. So at the point when we usually pay for our practicing certificates every year, mm-hmm. you indicate your dependence. So Mutua, you'd have indicated your legitimate wife. And your legitimate children. So the ones that you have recorded, and of course you will need to provide documentation to prove that, whatever documentation it is, those are the ones who will be catered for. So wild oats and all. I mean, your children, you know, just to address your concern,
yeah.
Your children are your children.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to be married to, you know, the mother or your children. In your case, they are your children and they ideally should benefit from this. And that's what the fund does. So you will have, unfortunately or unfortunately, one wife. So you'll select and it needs to be the legitimate one. And then the children. I hope that addresses your concern.
Yes, it does. But I have a follow-up question.
Well,
so when you're filling those forms, I normally see something written, life, non-life. What the hell is that?
So basically, life members, and I think, I don't know why most of the senior bar, that's where most people who have life membership are.
Do you want an answer? Do you want to know?
Yes, because
they're closer to benefiting from the fund.
Oh,
you know, in Africa we don't use that word.
Yes.
We don't say that word.
Thank you for saying actually. Yeah.
But they're closer to
benefiting.
That's why they see the benefit and that's why they pay for
life. They pay for it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So for life membership, you pay it's a huge amount. It's $150,000. It's a one-off payment. Mm-hmm. And I think the best thing about it, about a life member, is that even if you have not taken... Okay, let me first go to non-life. So non-life, you pay it annually.
Uh-huh.
It's an annual subscription. When you're paying for your practicing certificate, you also pay $3,500 for the fund. So it means if you do not take out your practicing certificate, let's say this year you don't take it out, it means you've not paid for the fund. And if something happens to you, your people will not benefit. That's the unfortunate bit. You will not get the last. They will not get the last expense. Your children will not be educated. Now, the advantage of a life member is that even in the event you've not taken out your PC, you already made a one-off payment. You already made a one-off payment, so your people are still going to benefit from the fund, whether you've taken out your practicing certificate or not. So that's the major difference. Otherwise, all other benefits, especially with regards to when you're still alive, like the therapy sessions, the pension scheme, they apply across board. They both life and non-life members benefit from that.
Okay.
Charlie, you heard something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was. I read about that one, and I was like, okay, whether there's a subscription fee, the 3.5 that is annual for a year, that's 3.5 for a year, and the life member award of 150,000 shillings. Now, does that differ in seniority? For example, if Mutu has just joined, I mean, do you do it immediately, or do you have to? Is it a must? By the way, that's the question I was asking. Is it really a must?
Okay,
because somebody may want to go their own way. I don't want to be part of this. I just want to do my own thing or something. Or is it encouraged as much? Please just join this. It's important.
Actually, in truth, it is a must.
Okay.
And this is why I say it is a must.
Uh-huh.
Because when you're taking out, as Elna said, when you're taking out your annual practicing certificate,
right.
That amount is loaded onto it. So it's sort of like, you don't really have a choice. Your invoice comes with that amount.
Mm-hmm.
It's not separated, you know. So looking at it that way, you can't really opt out of it.
Mm.
Yeah, because it's assumed that everybody who's a practicing lawyer
in Kenya, yeah.
When you take out your practicing certificate, then you are also a member of Advocates Benevolent Association. Mm-hmm. The only distinction will be whether you decide to pay the one-off, the life membership, or the annual membership.
Mm-hmm.
Something that I think would be good to clarify at this point. So we have about 24,000 lawyers, but not all of them in Kenya. But we are not all practicing advocates.
I wanted to hear that.
Now, practicing advocates means you've taken out a practicing certificate annual, every year. So you could have studied law. So you went to school, went to university, you studied a law degree. Then after that, you went to Kenya School of Law, which is a diploma in law after that.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, every year, you have to take out a practicing certificate, which therefore allows you to practice law. There are lawyers who opt not to do that because they're in other fields.
Mm-hmm.
Then secondly, there are lawyers who are practicing, for instance, in the Attorney General's office who do not have to take that practicing certificate by virtue of the office that they hold.
Yeah.
So that then means that we have 16,000 who are practicing and therefore are the members of the Advocates Benevolent Association,
mm-hmm.
not the 24,000. So,
wow.
Let me finish that.
Please.
So that means you might be a lawyer in this country, but you cannot benefit from the Benevolent Association upon your demise because you've not taken out a practicing certificate.
Mm-hmm.
There's no distinction on the years of practice. Mutua and Elna pay the same amount of money as I pay.
Yes.
3-5 for everybody.
Okay.
Now you got it, Charlie?
No, I get it. I get it. Yeah.
Now, do you want us to get deeper into a few things that we need to talk about?
Yes, we want to do that immediately after the news.
Oh, it's news time.
It's news time. It's already 7
all
o'clock.
Right, all right.
But I'm liking this. I'm trying to find an angle where I can get in, but these two ladies are so articulate. I don't even know where to start. So you start, and then we get into this one. Of course, yeah, we're talking about the Advocates Benevolent Association, or is it a fund? But it's really amazing, learning so much today. So what are your questions about this one? Let us know, 0701-9494, hashtag quick one, Wakili. Wakili, hashtag, it's the legal insider. Let's get to the news. Yunia Amunga, 7 o'clock. It continues. Good evening.
The best mix of music. Capital FM.
Capital Newsbeat.
Reprieve as EPRA reduces petrol price by 7 shillings. Nahumicha blames late disbursement by Treasury for Medic strike. And Monda attributes his impeachment to stand relations with Arati. Good evening. I'm Yunia Amunga.
Capital Newsbeat.
The Energy and Petroleum Regulatory Authority has announced a reduction of fuel prices in the latest review. Super petrol price has been reduced by 7 shillings and 21 cents, while diesel and kerosene have been reduced by 5.09 and 4.49 respectively. In Nairobi, super petrol, diesel and kerosene will now retail at 199.15, 190.38 and 188.74 effective midnight for the next 30 days. President William Ruto had earlier told Kenyans to expect a drop in fuel prices to be announced today by the Energy and Petroleum Regulatory Authority. Speaking during a development tour of Kericho, the head of state indicated that this is part of the government's initiative to ensure that the country moves forward in the right trajectory. Health Cabinet Secretary Susan Nahumicha says the Treasury remains non-committal on the disbursement of funds needed to effect the placement of medical interns as demanded by the Kenya Medical Practitioners, Pharmacists and Dentists Union. She told the National Assembly Committee on Health that Treasury owes Ministry of Health 29 billion shillings and so far promised to disburse 2 billion shillings by end of next week. The 29 billion shillings is part of the outstanding bill supposed to facilitate payment to key public hospitals, including Kenyatta National Hospital. The pronouncement comes as the nationwide doctor's strike kicked off, leaving hundreds of Kenyans stranded.
Nilikuja hapa 6:30, lakini hasijaona daktari hata sasa. Naomba serikali muongee ili hii shida iishe.
Saa moja na tatu tuko hapa, paka saa hizi jasikia daktari atajaonge.
Mimi nilifika hapa saa 10:30, nikakuja, nikachukua risiti, nikakuja hapa, sijapata daktari, nimeleta kijana yangu, amevujika mguu na imeanza kuoza, sasa nimeshindwa, sasa nitafanya nini, mtoto wangu anaendelea kuumia.
Meanwhile, legislators have called on the Kenya Kwanza government to address the plight of doctors and stop the suffering of patients. Kisii Deputy Governor Robert Monda has maintained that his impeachment is based on political indifferences between him and Governor Simba Arati. Speaking while responding to questions from senators, Monda narrated how he has strained relations with Arati since they were sworn in last year.
I'm convicted that it is from that perspective that I am before this Senate on a matter of impeachment because of the official questions I've tried to hold with the governor and we do not seem to pull together. One of them is the question of the budget absorption, where for two consecutive years we have remained number 47 out of 47 in resource absorption.
Monda says he has also questioned the manner in which Kisii County government has been operating, citing that they have had to hold cabinet meetings at the private home of the governor.
We have found ourselves in a situation where even the Judicial Service Commission visited Kisii and we were required to go to the rural home where we went and we held that meeting there, and it was painful for me having the Judicial Service Commission conducting an official meeting in a private residency. Madam Speaker, this is the scenario in brief in Kisii.
The deputy governor faces four allegations, among them gross misconduct, constitutional violations, abuse of office, and breach of national laws. Deputy President Rigathi Gachagua has undertaken to broker a truce between Nairobi Governor Johnson Sakaja and the county's leaders for faster implementation of development projects across the city. Speaking when he condoled the Embakasi North MP James Gakuya for the loss of his brother, Gachagua said he's ready to have a sitting with the leaders to solve disagreements for the betterment of lives of Nairobi residents who overwhelmingly voted for the Kenya Kwanza administration. One of the mandate of the deputy president is to coordinate intergovernmental relations between the national and county governments. The deputy president also commended Governor Sakaja for accepting responsibility and called for talks to resolve any stalemate with the leaders. Members of parliament, led by Embakasi North MP James Gakuya, added that for development to be felt by the constituents, leaders are supposed to collaborate. For more on these and other stories, dial *411*#. I'm Yunia Amunga.
Capital Newsbeat.
Yeah, here we go again, 7 minutes, actually 6 minutes past 7 o'clock right here on your best bit of music, 90.4 Capital FM. Good evening, how you doing? It's a Legal Inside. Remember, we do this every Thursday with my friend, my brother, Wakili Mutua Mutuku, advocate of the High Court. And of course, I've got two visitors with me and we're talking something quite interesting. Never heard about this one, I must say. This is my first time. And it's interesting, my boss also tells me that every Thursday he learns something from this show, every Thursday, including many other people in this office. And thanks to you, Advocate Mutua. And of course, in studio, Elna and Deborah, advocates of the High Court. We're talking about advocates' benevolence. We have one in Capital FM, as indeed every other company has their own. And people do it differently, but it's more or less the same. It's generic. But this one, I find it quite different, by the way. It's quite very inclusive, and rightly so, because you guys are lawyers. And yeah, interesting. Okay, Mutua, take over from here, sir.
You know, when you say Ellen, Deborah, those are very rhymey names. Like,
you know,
are we going back to theater, Charlie?
That will never go. That will never leave me. No, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
But we've talked about everything that is nice about ABA. We talked about how it's been able to assist you to and your siblings to complete school, right? But every organization, every fund, everything that has a human element has its own challenges. What do you think are some of the challenges that that come from ABA?
Okay,
Deborah, go.
Deborah, go. Yes.
You're senior.
You see the look, the look she's giving you on the side, like.
Okay, I think one of the major challenges I see with an organization like ABA is inclusivity. For me, that's the first challenge. Just ensure, because members are in different spaces of life. So one of the major challenges is trying to find an inclusive way of including everybody, you know, so that everybody benefits. That I see as the biggest challenge. And right now, you know, the feedback that we're getting from members is, how does it benefit me? You know, because I'm in a different space, you know, so I don't have children, you know, Mutua maybe can relate to some of these concerns.
But don't worry, Mutua. Don't worry, Mutua. It's okay. It's okay.
It's okay. It's a stage of life.
And it's talking not to only you. There's somebody who's seated right now.
Yeah.
They want to be part of this fund. They don't have kids. How do they go about it? Elna and Deborah are here to clear that for them.
Yes. So that I see as a first challenge.
Mm-hmm.
The second one, and then I'll hand over to Elna as well, is how the funds are utilized.
Ah, good one.
Money is a delicate and sensitive thing.
Yeah.
You know, you're depending on somebody to manage funds. And these are, I said, 16,000 lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of money. And the moment you put money into an organization or to be managed by human beings, there's temptation.
Oh, yeah.
Once that happens, you know, what's the level of responsibility? So that's a big challenge. Huge amounts of money, there's responsibility. So how do you manage yourself? And because this is managed by a board of four members, then you're relying on how responsible these people are to take care of that money. That is a major challenge. How you do it, how the members, how those board members conduct themselves, how they run the fund, that's a major challenge. Because it means people can be careless, people can be greedy, but on the other hand, people can be responsible. It's a matter of choice. You know, when people are given offices like those, it comes with a lot of responsibility, and basically you decide how you're going to conduct yourself when you're holding that office.
Yeah, no.
I think I agree. I agree. So maybe just to add, what I think is a challenge is the fact that members themselves don't know much about ABA. So many lawyers during this period, I've reached out to so many advocates who pay for it. It's usually in their invoice. They see they pay $3,500 for ABA, but they have no idea what it is. Not a clue. Before even moving on to the benefits they can get from it, they don't even know what it is. They don't bother. And I think the issue of sensitization, we have that issue of sensitization, just informing members of what ABA is. So the only time I think most people interact with ABA is when, during AGMs, the annual general meetings for the Law Society of Kenya.
Lawyers love elections.
Yes. Really?
Lawyers are politicians.
Wakili has told me that many times. Yeah, lawyers are politicians. Wow.
So in the morning, the morning of the AGM, we have the ABA usually has a few hours to, you know, rush through the agenda because people are like, we want to move to the main things. So it's usually like a sideshow. Wow. So there are even suggestions of ABA having its own AGM because people have come to realize these guys deal with a lot of money. Where does this money go? You know, if you're in the board, people are just doing their own things inside there. You have no idea. there's no proper accountability because people don't even know what is happening and they don't care. But I've seen people picking up an interest of late, especially throughout this this period heading to the elections. So going back to what I was saying, it's sensitization. We need to come up with ways of informing people of how they can benefit, because you don't only benefit upon your demise. I mean, you're not going to benefit, it's your people. So while you're still alive, there are, I think Deborah spoke of the medical assistance where they help you, they can help you clear your medical bills. They have partnered with the counselors and the psychologists to offer therapy sessions. There's even a free therapy session, and subsequent sessions are subsidized. They have, there are several other benefits members can benefit from while they're still alive. People don't know that. When people hear ABA, they hear death, and they're like, as we have said, in Africa, we don't hear about death. Yeah. ABA death, just let me pay it and just leave me alone. So we need to let them know what, how else they can benefit from this fund, so, especially when they're still alive.
So if I join it, you're tempting providence. Basically, at some point, I'll just go very quickly, and that money has to go to somebody else.
Yeah,
yeah. But what about a situation where, because I like, Elna, what you said, something about the benefits thereof. I mean, and many times you talk about this, there are some guys who operate on certain levels. And this one, I learned it from Wakili Mutua about OBs, this guy who's operate in certain areas of
you've
town.
You've known so much about law now. Eh?
No. I've been doing it for a couple
he's
of
even
months.
Saying thereof.
I've learned from them. And here you are, you operate in certain parts of the city where you don't earn the amounts that Deborah or Elna or Mutua does, but he wants to do his things chinyamaji, but just make sure you do it rightly or in his own way as to how he understands it. How can you convince this person who's actually beyond the realm of what you guys are doing internally? How can you convince him actually to come into the fold? Maybe he's not been to the Law Society of Kenya, or maybe he did, or maybe he dropped out, but he's still practicing. What do you talk? How do you talk to this person if they want to join? How can you help them? I know one or two actually who have who practice and do that, and they're doing quite well.
Just to add on to what Charlie has said, you talked about 16,000 lawyers, and 24,000 lawyers.
Yes.
So that there's a disparity of about 8,000.
Correct.
If lawyers are not good with math, so is there a way that can be worked around? To have maybe quite a number, another chunk of lawyers between this 8,000, just to keep on reducing the gap and not tie a BA to a practicing certificate. Is it possible to do that?
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's a question that has come up throughout this period. People actually have very interesting questions. So the unfortunate bit, as you have said, is you have to, I think, and Deborah had stated it, it's not voluntary. If you want to practice that year, you must pay for ABA. And if you don't, if you're not practicing, then you've not paid for ABA. And if something happens to you and that's it, maybe you've been paying for the past 10 years, then maybe that 11th year, you decide I'm not paying for my practicing certificate. If you die, your children will not be educated, they will not get the last expense, and it's very unfortunate. So I think since it's a welfare thing, I don't think it should be, well, at the moment it's tied to you paying for your practicing certificate, but I think we should come up with a way of maybe separating. That is something that a lot of thought has to go into it. Because most people are saying, I'm paying for my practicing certificate. I don't want to pay for ABA. But you see also, if you separate it, people may not pay for it. And it's so beneficial. So personally, I think the first thing is, if you get to know how this thing is helping you, you won't feel that pinch of pain. Because most people are saying, I'm not benefiting from this. In fact, if I die, I have no spouse, I have no child. So these people will just eat my money and you're forcing me to pay. Those are the complaints. So that means they don't know the benefits they can get when they're alive, number one. So when the more you tell someone about something, they'll be like, oh, okay, so it's not as useless as I thought. It's not just the society is not trying to take away my money. So I think that notion of separating the ABA payment from the PC may be cured if people are more knowledgeable about what ABA does for you, to the point where you don't feel anything when you're paying for it. You know why you're paying for it and you know how it will come through for you. So it goes back to sensitization. Yes.
And do we have a mechanism where you can reach out to these 8,000 people? Or another question somebody's asking, yeah, what if, I mean, I'm still in college and I want to practice. Can I start paying this fund? Yeah, can I start doing it?
As in ambitious.
Yes, yes.
That's a very ambitious person. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, they still cannot be part of the fund because it's, as we said, for practicing lawyers. But I'm going to answer your question of how do we reach out to these people.
Correct.
So one of the ways that, and here, I mean, it's difficult to speak about ABA without speaking about LSK because we are twins, you know.
Oh,
Law Society of Kenya members are therefore the ones who are members of Benevolent Association. So the question you asked about the people who are out there doing, you know, various other things, which is not necessarily practicing mainstream law, let me call it mainstream law for lack of a better word, is they're doing various things. But if you have a gap in your career where you're not able to pay for your practicing certificate, for whatever reason. I mean, things happen, you know, whatever. It could be financial, it could be medical.
Yeah.
Various things happen. You're allowed to actually write to the Law Society of Kenya and say, within this period, I was not able to take out a practicing certificate. So kindly exempt me. And that has been done. And wow. Then depending on how compelling the reason is, you might be, you know, allowed to just start over and pay from that point. In some instances, if the society feels like your reasons are not very compelling, you might be forced to pay the back fees, you know. So it's an assessment.
Okay.
And it's assessed on a case by case. If you're just chilling somewhere and decided you're not going to take out your practicing certificate, then you'll be forced to pay back fees for the years that you did not practice.
Mm.
But if the reason is compelling, then the society actually exempts you.
All right.
That actually happens. Right. Mm-hmm. I have done it.
Okay.
There was a 1 year when, you know, I was practicing doing other things.
Yeah.
And I applied for it and provided the evidence I was doing XYZ. And therefore, I did not take out a PC.
Because you had the evidence and all that.
And I had the evidence of what I was doing.
Yeah.
You know, people go out of the country, you know, for studies or that kind of thing.
Yeah.
People take breaks to have families.
So, Deborah, if I come from California, I've been doing my practice there, and I want to come back to Kenya, I have to go through the Law Society of Kenya, give them the evidence, this is what I've been doing, that's what I've been practicing, and I want to be part of the ABA.
Yes.
Okay, cool. That's good.
Yeah, so...
Good, yeah.
Besides ABA being something that is... your people benefiting after you're gone... You've also introduced another element of ABA, which is counseling, which is therapy. And I think one of the biggest things that you're battling now, oh, I could be wrong. If I'm wrong, you guys tell me. tell me.
Tell us.
So one of the biggest things that you're battling as a profession, and not only as a profession, but globally, is mental health, is a lot of alcohol addiction. So, does ABA provide for services for guys who are going through such mental challenges that need therapy, that maybe the bottle is deep down in them and they want to have a new lease of life, they want to go for therapy, and you know how therapy, how bloody therapy expensive is. Does it provide for that?
So, yes, that is, I think, a major benefit that members of the society have no idea exists. Especially in this era of mental health and issues, so the fund has partnered with the what are they called, the
psychologists.
Yes. So they've partnered, whereby you reach out all these things. You just reach out to the secretariat; they will help you out. You reach out, the first session you get is free. It's completely free of charge. Then the subsequent sessions, because of course you can't go for therapy once and just expect your problems to go away. the subsequent sessions are very subsidized, because you'll get the market rate for therapy is, it's crazy. It's not affordable, especially, and most members can't afford therapy out here. And as Deborah said, there are many young people getting into the profession every day. There's an admission, people are getting admitted just last week. So more and more people are getting into the becoming members of the society, and of course becoming members of the fund. And these mental health issues are not going anywhere. So I think it was a very good initiative to have that, at least the first session, it's free. You get to see how it is. Then the subsequent sessions are subsidized, way below the market rate. So, and now these are things that members need to know about. You're out there paying for therapy at a very crazy amount. Of course, it's helpful, but if you had the information of what the fund offers, of what the ABA offers, you know, you're going to save some coins. And some people, actually, the main reason for not going for therapy is because they simply can't afford it. Yeah. So it's a very good initiative that people need to be more aware of and take advantage of it. Because, you know, you're paying, every year you're paying money that goes towards ABA. How is it helping you? How are you benefiting from the money you're paying every single year?
Mm-hmm. Debbie?
First, Mutua, I'm going to agree with you that mental health is a major issue. Actually, I was reading somewhere that by 2025, the highest, the biggest cause of death is going to be by suicide. Mm. 2025.
Dark.
That's next year.
That's next year.
Initially, the initial statistic was 2030, but they reviewed the data and it has actually been pushed forward to 2025.
And it did not specify the age bracket.
And it doesn't specify. And the truth of the matter is that you don't choose.
Yeah.
You don't choose, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your profession. As much as we speak about this challenge in the legal profession, mm-hmm. It cuts across. Mm-hmm. Cuts across all professions. Mm-hmm. It doesn't choose. Social strata, it doesn't choose. So it could happen to any of us. You know, you could mm-hmm. lose your job today
yeah.
and you sink into depression.
Mm-hmm.
It's not by choice. Some people think that it's something that people choose, or they say, you know, maybe it's in their family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's also a lack of awareness
mm-hmm.
When it comes to mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And those are things which, you know, the association can actually do. There's the therapy part of it, but we can also use that platform to educate and create awareness about mental health. You know, alcoholism is a symptom
mm-hmm.
of an underlying mental health mm-hmm. issue. Majority of people do not mm-hmm. know that. You know, a lot of people will just say, and you know that there are many lawyers and even more younger lawyers
mm-hmm.
struggling with this. You know, I say this because this is a conversation that we have had with Mutua.
Okay.
And, you know, people will because of a lack of awareness of mm-hmm. the issues mm-hmm. and the causes, they will say, why doesn't the guy just stop drinking? Why does the lady just stop drinking? It just deeper doesn't happen like yeah. that. It's much deeper than yeah. that. And so this person needs support, which the Benevolent Association can offer. You know, first sensitize people, because, you know, when there's a mental health issue or an alcoholism problem, it impacts many people, the people yeah. around them, the people yeah. in their office.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you work in a firm like Elna does,
mm-hmm.
it means, for instance, the person is not going to show up at work.
Yeah.
Then it means that somebody else has to pick up after them.
Yeah.
So it has a ripple effect. It's mm-hmm. going to impact their family.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can help and support families whose the advocate in the family has been deceased, why should we not be able to do this? Create awareness, create a support system. Therapy, even the family members, I've always said therapy does not only benefit
mm-hmm.
the patient. The family, actually, you have to do family therapy.
Yeah. especially in case of the breadwinner of the family actually leaves. But somebody was asking earlier on, so does this only mean that the money that the late Wakili left goes only into education, or the money that was left there is actually given to the family, or is it disbursed slowly over a period of time? No, because somebody will come and say, no, Mutua will be here telling me, wait, I'm your lawyer, go and pick all your money, I'll represent you. Take all your money and walk into the sunset. How do you do it? And I start with you because I can see you smiling. Dad has gone. Why are you giving me 20 G's a month? Give me 100K a month. Yeah?
Yeah. So I don't know. I think, unfortunately, you will have contributed, but that maybe you've been practicing for so many years.
Correct, yeah.
And then you die.
Mm-hmm.
But your family will only get the last expense and the educational assistance. That's the only thing. They'll get the one-off payment for the last expense soon after your demise, just to help them sort things out.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you left children, they're educated throughout. That is all. The rest of the money does not go.
I think that's okay because... I mean, you didn't work in a vacuum, so you still have your lawyer friends who'll come together and just pull together and say, you know what, let's give you a big package.
So, kidogo to.
Send but wow.
So on that that education bit, is there a cap? Because, for example, if my kiddos are going to Brookhouse, how does that?
Oh, thank you.
There's a cap.
Oh, there's a cap.
Yes. There's a cap that it's been increased. It depends on the level, but there's a cap. So if you want to take your child to Brookhouse, ABA will pay for up to the limit, then you top up. So you can't decide to take your children to all the most expensive schools and be like, ABA, can you pay this fees?
Yeah, thank you so much, Elder, because I did my own career study. It says assistance program, and from which level? Nursery, that's 40K per student. Primary, 50,000. Secondary is 80K. Tertiary is 60,000. And the Kenya School of Law, that's about 190,000 shillings.
So yeah. That's annually?
Yes.
That's annually?
Per year per student.
Okay.
Yes.
Ah. So just now I'm curious.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a curveball. ABA has been here for a number of years. Many, many, many years. Right? Why is it surprising that you're still having this conversation about sensitization? What has ABA not done right that you keep on, even now you're telling Wakilis, look guys, there's something called ABA.
Mm.
So where has ABA or the society failed in creating this awareness? And what can we guys do about to bridge that gap?
So I think the failure is, or the area of development is in sensitizing members. And how does this happen? There's also the how. So if you look at, as Elna said, this conversation only happens during the AGM, just before elections, and people don't...
You guys are restless.
People don't even, like, I'm ready. I have Nikonakura yangu. Yeah, I want to vote.
Vote, yeah.
People don't even want to listen,
mm-hmm.
you know? So we need to have sensitization sessions away from that AGM.
Good.
In fact, I was asking people, you know, Elna will tell you, you've been having so many questions. Then I asked people, how come during the 2 years you guys don't ask these questions?
Mm-hmm.
It's your money.
Mm-hmm.
And you should be asking those questions within those 2 years,
mm-hmm.
not during the AGM, mm-hmm. you know, or when people are asking for kura and election and votes. So it's the how it's done. The idea that I think would work is we have so many sessions as lawyers, continuous professional development. During that session, we can have 10 minutes
mm-hmm.
in every, we can actually decide that in every session for continuous professional development, we'll have 10 minutes where we'll have a session to tell members about ABA. Because if you actually, the way that these things work, like we said, people think ABA, death. So people don't want to think about So if you come up with a particular session and say, we are now going to talk about ABA, people will ignore you.
Mm.
People don't like to talk about death until it happens.
It needs to be repackaged, actually.
Yeah, it needs to be repackaged.
Completely.
Completely. Mm-hmm. Because if you tell people we are going to have a session, if I invite you guys today and I say, I want to talk about death, none of you is going to show up.
No way.
You know, I've been told by some of my friends that I talk about death like I'm talking about going to for a walk. Wow. But that's just who I am. Mm-hmm. But most people are not like that. Mm-hmm. So we have to understand that the societal, you know, there's this social aspect of it. Mm-hmm. We don't talk about death in Africa. So you repackage it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, one final question, because I can see my producer is walking out there. He's smiling at me, Andy Kapp. I can see you. And very quickly to you two. You know, the police oversight authority and the police circle is not run by policemen. It's run by other people outside in. So ABA, who runs it? I hope not the lawyers. I'm just asking. I said on a lighter note. On a lighter note. On a lighter note.
We run it.
Okay. It's the lawyers.
It's the lawyers. Lawyers run it. No, no. I was just saying. I'm not saying it. It's the lawyers who run it.
Yes.
All right. All right. Cool. Yes. All right. It's good to know that.
Yes.
Right. Fantastic.
We run it.
Wow, what a session. Anyway, we need more time, by the way. We need more time on this one. But thank you so much, Elna and Deborah. And I know there are lawyers right now who are listening to you, and they'd like to find out exactly how they can get in touch with you, Deborah. Let's start with you. How can they get in touch with you and just ask you questions? Maybe they want to do it privately. I don't have to have a circle where Mutua, my best friend for many years, will start hearing my stories and go like, Charles, I didn't know that about you. Or something like that. Maybe they want to talk to Deborah. How can they get in touch with you on your socials?
Okay. On my socials, I am Deborah Ajuang. Mm-hmm. On Facebook, I am Deborah Ajuang. On Instagram, on Twitter, which is an interesting space where I don't have the muscle. I usually say people on Twitter, you need two hearts. Eh?
Yes, it's very true.
Yeah, so niko na roho ndogo.
Yeah.
So on Twitter, I'm Anditi Ogada. Mm-hmm. You can reach me on either of those socials.
Thank you. Elna, you?
I'm Elna Wambua. Mm-hmm. I think everywhere, Instagram, Facebook, X.
Oh, by the way, it's called X. X. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
No, it's okay. It's forgiven.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. So across all platforms, mm-hmm. Elna Wambua.
All right, thank you so much. You know, if you're a lawyer, you're practicing in at the OB where I learned from Mutua, and you need to learn. Yeah, you heard that one. So get in touch.
No one is on this table practices in an OB law firm.
No. Not these two. I'm saying ones who are listening right now. Yeah, the socials, you've heard them, get in touch with them, have a chat. Maybe you're like, I need to know how to get into this, but I don't know because I don't have the guts. I need to speak to just one person who can guide me. There you go. There you have it. And thank you so much, Deborah.
Charlie,
and, yes.
We can't let them go.
Yes.
I mean, International Women's Day was on Friday.
Okay, 1 minute, because my producer was...
Oh, he's just looking at us.
Looking at me, yeah.
I mean, we have the 51st president, and you're very excited, and at least, come on, you guys, just say something about it.
Yeah, come on, we'll start with you, Deborah. I can see you smiling, Kabisa.
I am smiling.
Yeah, that is your friend, I know.
It is a milestone.
Yes.
It's a milestone, a major milestone. Mm-hmm. I believe that having a woman at the top is always beneficial, not just to women, but to everybody.
True.
Yeah, because we have certain qualities that, you know, are useful. Compassion, you know, and today we're talking about compassion. So that's one of the benefits. But beyond that, we have a capable leader, and we look forward to her leadership.
Good stuff. Yeah. Elna?
Yes, like Deborah said, it is a milestone. I think she's the second.
Yeah, second.
Yes, the second woman president at the LSK. So it was a huge step. And I was so happy that advocates actually decided to elect a woman. It shows they see value in having a woman, a leader who is a woman. And they decided, let's try this out. And the current president, the incoming president, she taught me. And some of the values, I'm not saying men are not compassionate, but I think there are some values women possess which, you know, compared to men are not very...
Okay. No, take it.
And she's taught me, and I believe she has certain values that will really come in handy in our society.
All right, fantastic. Thank you so much.
And Chiari, we have set the pace for the country.
Okay.
We look forward to having a woman president.
Super. Super. I look forward for that conversation one day with you. All right, thank you so much, Deborah. Thank you so much. And Wakili Mutua, as always, with you every Thursday. Remember, it happens every Thursday. And the conversation continues right here on The Legal Inside every Thursday, 6:30 to 7:30. So write to us, 0701-98494, # Legal Insider, # quick one, Wakili. Stand by the hype with Ranjira Long Hour. That's right.